Ramban Parshas Vayetze, the Parsha begins with the famous dream of Yaakov dreaming that there's this ladder and it's on the ground and it reaches to heaven and there are malachim going up and down. So Rashi understands that to mean that this is the changing of the guard. The malachim of Eretz Yisrael are leaving and the malachim of Chutz La'aretz are coming down. And Hashem is Kaviyachol standing over Yaakov. So the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, this is showing Yaakov how the world works. That the Malachim are on earth, and they go up to Shemayim to report to Hashem what goes on earth. Hashem gives them, so Hashem is not Nitzav Alav on Yaakov, he's Nitzav Alav on the ladder, on top of the ladder. The Malachim go up to report Kaviyachol to Hashem what's going on in Shema, in the earth, and Hashem gives them instructions and send them back down to earth to make stuff happen. So that means everything on this world happens through the malachim. That's regular people. And Hashem is telling Yaakov, not you. You, I'm going to deal with you directly. I will protect you directly. You're not going to be given over to the malachim. That's how the Ramban understands the story. Okay, then there's a bit of a technical machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban about exactly where the Makom HaMikdash was, right? Rashi, it starts one place, ends another place, and in the middle, Rashi says, is where the Makom HaMikdash is. But the Ramban understands that the Beis HaMikdash area is either at the bottom of the ladder or the top of the ladder, depending on the Medrash. Okay, it's a little technical, but I just wanted to bring out one point. He brings a Medrash from the Pirkei de Rav Elazar, the Ramban does, and it was talking about that Yaakov realized he was on Har HaMoriah. Oh, it's another thing to argue about. Rashi says that Har HaMoriah went to Yaakov. That was the Kvitzes Derech. Har HaMoriah went out of its place and met Yaakov. And the Ramban says, no, Yaakov came to it quickly. That was his Kvitzes Derech. But regardless, so Yaakov wakes up and Har HaMoriah didn't realize it. It says, Hishkim Yaakov baboker, v'pachad gadol v'amar, peso shal kadosh baruch hu b'makom zeh. I'm in Hashem's house. Shenerma v'yomer manu ra makom zeh. And here's the part, an important quote of form. Mikana talamid, from here you learn. This is the Pirkei Rav Elazar talking. Mikana talamid, shekala mispalal b'Yerushalayim, ki'ilu mispalal lefnei kisi hakavod. If you're davening in Yerushalayim, not just Nahar Moriah, if you're davening in Yerushalayim, it's as if you're davening before the kisi hakavod. Sheshar shemayim u'pesuach l'shmo tzvilasen shal Yisrael, because the gates of heaven are open to receive the tzvilas of Klal Yisrael. It says, zeh shar shemayim. And then Yaakov gathers the stone and makes the matzeva. Okay, I just pointing it out that it's the whole of Yerushalayim. According to that, if you're davening in Yerushalayim, it's not just at the Kotel, or certainly on the Beis HaMikdash. It's the whole Yerushalayim. Someone davens in Yerushalayim, it's as if they're davening before Hashem. Then there's another Ramban that he says is al pisod, but I mean, there's a pashut part of it that I think is interesting. When Yaakov makes this neder, he says, Hashem protects me. And then at Bishafti Bishalom El Beisavi, and I will return back to my father's house. V'haya Hashem li le'elokim, and Hashem will be me to me for a God. So the Ramban says al piso, but again, this does have a pashut way of reading. Remember, he means if he's leaving Israel now, and if he says if I get back to Israel, so then Hashem will be for me le'elokim. So he says, Chazal say kol adar b'chutzaretz domek mishein le'eloka. If you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you have no God. So when he says "V'shafti b'shalom v'vayisabi v'ayah Hashem li l'elokim," then Hashem will be for me for elokim. Says that's a part of that. He says it. I'll be so again. It's Hashem will be for me for a God because he'll be living in Eretz Yisrael. Then it's as if he has a God. Whereas someone who lives in Chutz Laretz is k'mishein l'elokim. Okay, then we have the story with Yaakov coming to the well with Rachel, but it starts with. And we know everything in the Torah is not just stories, obviously. It starts with Yaakov coming to this well, and there are three shepherds with three flocks of sheep, three shepherds there by the stone, and they're waiting for more people to gather so they can get off the rock, off the well. What's with the three shepherds? So the Ramban says, brings a medrash, this is all remez, this is a Beis HaMikdash Banim, some kind of remez of what would be with the Beis HaMikdash. The three Adarim are a hint to the three regalim, the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And on those holidays, all of Klal Yisrael is Shoev Ruach HaKodesh. they would get Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, we say that line by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that they were Shoeva Ruach HaKodesh, but by all of the Shalosh Regalim, Klal Yisrael Zocha, when they go to the Beis HaMikdash, to a Ruach HaKodesh. So you would put, you take the rock off, and the Ruach HaKodesh comes out during the three Regalim, and then when it's put back in, the Ruach HaKodesh stops, meaning after the holiday, and then it's there for future Regalim. Okay, then it says, he asks, I mean, does the first case of Jewish geography. He says, hey, you know Lavan ben Nachar? They say, oh yeah, we know him. Okay, how's he doing? Anyway, but it says Lavan ben Nachar, which is the wrong name, right? Isn't it Lavan ben Besuel? Then Nachar is the grandfather. Why do you say Lavan ben Nachar? It's just an interesting question. The Ramban points out, he says, could be, but Besuel was, I don't know what, a loser. That's basically, he says, a pachos maila. Somebody didn't want to, he was maybe embarrassed of him, or even if he wasn't, he was, Nachar was more chashuv, like, that was a chashuv, a grandfather, that's why, or maybe because he was more closer to Avram, more known to, as being connected to Avram, he would ask, do you know Lavan ben Nachar, because that would be the more famous one. Okay, then he sees Rachel, and Rachel is Roahi. She was the shepherd of her father. Rashi tells us that, you know, they had no sons at the time. But she was the shepherd, but the Ramban points out, it wasn't just she was the shepherd because he had no sons. Leah wasn't a shepherd either. Rachel was the one and only shepherd. So Ramban says, why? It's by Yisro's daughter, they're all shepherds. All the seven daughters were shepherds. Why here? He only, did Lavan only send Rachel? So he says it could be that Leah was older. She was an adult-ish. I mean, whatever, she was older than Rachel. So she was, you know, reigning for a shidduch, so she's not going to be out there being a shepherd. And also, who knows what could happen to her while she's out there being a shepherd out alone. Whereas Rachel was a little girl, he wasn't afraid anybody was going to mess with a little girl. Yisro was not afraid of out his seven daughters, because Yisro was like a famous Kohen Haaretz. He was like a very well-known person. Nobody would mess with his daughters. But Lavan was not. Or he says perhaps what Lavan was, more tzenua. Whatever it is, Rachel nobody was afraid of because she was a little kid. Which, he says, is why Yaakov had no problem kissing her. She was a little kid at the time. And so, anyway, that's why she was sent out and Leah was not. Then we have Yaakov. So he takes the rock off the well and he gives water to Rachel's sheep. And they talk and she goes and tells her family and Lavan comes out and Lavan takes him in. And then all of a sudden it says, Lavan says to Yaakov, "Achi, achi ata, ba'avadatani chinam," which means you're, well, because you're my relative, so you're going to work for me for free. "Hagidili me ma'amas kretech," I'll tell me what you're charging for your work. So Rashi's kind of hints like this, you know, where does come from a little bit. And he says, you just figure out that he must have been working for him. And the Ramban just like asks a question, like, who's talking about working for you? Who said Yaakov was working for, the Pasuk never said Yaakov agreed to work for Lavan, like, where'd that come from? So the Ramban says, perhaps it's because, and this is like, you know, I don't know what to say, the word is sweet, perhaps Yaakov, when he saw Rachel was the roa, she was the one doing the shepherding, and he gave her sheep to drink, he took over from there. Because he felt bad for her, she's a little kid, she's being the roa because nobody else. So he took over, and then Lavan observed this and said, okay, you don't have to work for free, what can I give you for this? So it just comes out that when he saw Rachel, he said, I'll take over her. He took over her job. That's one pshat. The other one is that this was Lavan Diber Be'arma, the Ramban says. It was a trick. Well, not really a trick, but he was saying he took Yaakov in. And when he sees that Yaakov's hanging around, instead of saying, you're not staying here for free, buddy, which is basically the way Rashi understands it, like after the 30 days, he was like, you know, you're going to work for me, or maybe even beforehand. But for the Ramban says, the way he did it was like, you know, a guy like you, of course, wouldn't be here for free. Like, I am sure you're going to be working for me. In other words, after he saw him staying for a while, he's like, obviously, he'll be working for me. A person like you would not take something for free. Obviously, you're going to be working for me, but, you know, what do you want for your work? So that's what that was. In other words, of course, he's going to work to pay for his room and board, and he would never expect to get something for free, but, you know, you're going to work very hard, so you'll need more than that. You know, what do you want to be paid? Okay, then we have, he says, it's in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. In Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, Lavan, Yaakov says to Lavan, Hava es ishti ki malu yamai bavoela. Give me my life ki malu yamai. So what do you mean by malu yamai? Because it's not, it's just Yaakov says to Lavan, my days have finished. I finished working for her. Okay. In other words, it doesn't say what you would expect is Yimlu, the day Yimei, Yaakov, Bavoda, whatever. It doesn't say that, like the Torah is not stating it finished. It says Yaakov said, I'm finished. Now Rashi says there, what's Malo Yomai? The days of what have finished? Sha'amrili Imi. Not the 7 years. The days have been finished that my mom sent me here. Or Odume Malu Yamai, meaning I'm getting old, I don't got time for this, I gotta start having kids. Okay. So all that, a little bit from Rashi, doesn't sound like he finished working for 7 years. It sounds like he was decided he's done. Right? And then afterwards, Lavan apparently agreed, because he gave him a wedding, just gave him the wrong daughter. So he gave her Lavan. So Yaakov gets all upset. How come you tricked me? I was supposed to be working for Rachel. How come you gave me Leah? And Lavan says, well, that's not the way we do it here. And then he says, Malei Shvua Zos. And Rashi says, what's Shvua Zos? The Shvua of this one. Who? Leah. Finish Shvua Zos. Finish Leah's Shvua. But what does that mean? Shivis Yimei HaMishta. It means finish Leah's Shavu Brachos. And then you can work 7 years for me for Rachel. Right, it says, Malei Shvua Zos, Unit Lacha Gam Ez Zos, Ba'avod Asher Tavo, Nimadi, Od Sheva Shnim Acheros. So, finish this Shvua, which Rashi says means finish Sheva Brachas, then you'll have another 7 years. So the Ramban understands Rashi to be saying that Yaakov had not finished the 7 years. He was just done. It was close to 6, 7 years, something like that. You know, whatever, exactly when, who knows. It was not 7 years yet. Yaakov just said, look, I gotta get going, I can't do this all day. And Lavan, let's assume, I guess, something like it was 6 years, let's say. And Lavan said, I guess, fine. He gave him Leah. Yaakov complains. And Rashi says, okay, look, finish Sheva Brachas, and then work for me for another 7 years. So it just comes out that he, according to Rashi, it sounds like he never finished the 7 years for Leah. And like the Rabban's like wondering like why would he ask for that, why would that be? And also Sheva Brachos, it's like Sheva Brachos is a takana de Rabbana that came way later. Lavan said to Yaakov, finish Sheva Brachos. Like that doesn't sound right. So he says maybe there was a minig back then. In other words, the Chachamim instituted it to make it official that there's a thing called Sheva Brachos. But before Matan Torah, or before the Rabbanan came around, well, it's actually Takanas Moshe, but whatever. Before that Takana came around, maybe it was just a minig. There was a minig that people made Sheva Brachos. Okay. But still, it's unusual that he would have asked Lavan to just knock off some of the time of the 7 years. Like, why? You know, like, you're old and you're in a rush. Like, that's Lavan's problem. Sounds a little unusual. So the Ramban suggests more Kipshuto, like going with this idea that the 7 years had not been up, but they were close. Yeah, it's two different pshatim, but something like that. They were close. And so he said, what, can you just give me the wife now? And so Lavan said, sure. He gave him a wife. It was the wrong wife. And then when he said, Malei Shvua Zos, doesn't mean Sheva Brachos, means finish the 7 years. You want Rachel too? Fine. I gave you Leah early. Malei Shvua Zos, finish your 7 years. And then I'll give you Rachel after you work for another 7 years. That's one pshat he gives. Another pshat is that they argued about when the 7 years were over. Yaakov said they're over. Lavan says nothing. He just gives him the wrong wife. And then when Yaakov says, okay, so why'd you give me the wrong wife? He then says to him, well, finish the 7 years. And Yaakov would have been, what do you mean? I did finish the 7 years. And Lavan said, no, you didn't finish the 7 years. And he was stuck because he wanted Rachel. So he said, finish whatever Lavan had in his head that he made up, that it was not really 7 years. Finish 7 years, then I'll give you an extra 7 years. And Yaakov agreed because he had no choice. Okay, anyway, so now he's married to Leah, and then he worked 7 years, he's married to Rachel. Or he got her right away, whatever the case is. But the bottom line is, he's married to both, and it says, Vayehav Gamet Rachel. He loved also Rachel, which the Rabban says also because usually you like your first wife best. That's why Chazal read. Your Kori's brisk with the first wife you married, usually that's the one you have the most fondness to. But anyway, that wasn't the case here. He loved also Rachel, and Hashem saw Kisnu Aleah. Does that mean she was literally hated? The Ramban says it may just mean, you know, between the two, she was the least of the two, not that she was hated. It just means between the two of them, or she was less liked. But regardless, he also brings another pshat that I think most of us have heard, that he was kind of upset, Yaakov at Leah, because she tricked him. In other words, it's good. Okay, maybe she had no choice with her father, and what's she going to do? Her father dragged her into it. She can't do anything. Okay, somewhere along the line, without telling her father, you know, getting in a fight with her father, she could have, like, hinted, sent some sign that Yaakov would have chopped, it's not Rachel. And it was the opposite. Even the first night they're married, she did everything, she pretended she was Rachel. So Yaakov had in mind to divorce her, because the whole thing was a trick, and she was obviously tricking him. And as she got pregnant, then he said, "Oh, le'iman shaleilu ani migarish, I'm going to divorce the mother of my children." So that's this, meaning this pasuk that says, "Vayar Hashem kisnu aleya vayiftach es rachma." Hashem saw that she was hated, therefore he made her get pregnant. Meaning, therefore, this way Yaakov would not want to divorce her because she was pregnant with his child. So he's not going to divorce the wife, the mother of his children, and that's the explanation. She was hated, therefore she got pregnant. Okay, then we have Rachel complaining to Yaakov that she should give him kids. And she says, Havali banim v'imlav v'imayin mesa anochi. And Yaakov gets upset and says, Satachal eselokim ani, shemana minech mi'beten amayin instead of Hashem. So what exactly happened here? Rashi says, Havali, meaning, how come you didn't daven for me like your parents daven for me, for them, like your father daven for your mother? And if not, I'm going to die, she says, and Rashi says, because someone without kids is considered like dead. So, if that's really what she says, the Ramban understand, how could he get angry at her about that? Of course he should daven for her. And that which he responded, according to Rashi, which was, well, my father didn't have kids from anybody. I already have kids from another child. From another wife, rather. And, I mean, like the Ramban says, like, okay, of course, therefore what? You know, therefore you shouldn't daven for someone. Tzadikim don't daven for other people. Of course they do. So he says, now, Chazal do say Yaakov did something wrong over here. It says that Hashem said to him, Kach oninus ha-meikus, this is how you respond to people. And therefore your sons will stand before hers, meaning like her son, Yosef, would be king, and they'd all be, you know, bowing down to him. Okay, but what's the pashup shot over here that went on? So he says, which I think probably most of us assumed, that she was saying, Hatachas, b'mayin mesa anochi, as if, like, you know, you must give me children, not daven for me, but, like, daven for me and, like, you know, make it happen. You know, this is not optional. You make it happen. You daven and make sure it happens. So that's why he was responding, I can't control. I'm not Hashem. I can't control what Hashem decides to do or not. But she was being like all, it sounds like from the Ramban, being like trying to be all emotional, and I'm going to die, and if he, literally she'll die from tsar, and she'll be Yilbash Sakva Efer until he dabbins and makes it happen. That's what Yaakov got upset with, that Yaakov cannot control, that Hashem will for sure listen to him. And the comment about, oh, it's you who doesn't have kids, not me, that was just because he wanted to be miyasser her and like just tell her, you know, you can't control it and stop that. But Hashem did not think it was right anyway. Then, and this is important, then when she sees that she can't force Yaakov to make it happen, she went ahead and davened for herself. And you know what it says? Look in Pasuk Chaf Beis. Who, obviously Yaakov did go daven for her. But who did Hashem listen to? Pasuk says, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayisker Elokim es Rachel, Vayishma Eileha. He listened to her, not Yaakov. Remember we had back in last week's parsha, Hashem listened to Yitzchak. It says, Vayatar Yitzchak, Lenochek Ishton, and Hashem listened to Yitzchak, and Eino Doma Tfilas Tzadik Ben Tzadik, Tfilas Tzadik Ben Rasha. That's why Hashem listened to Yitzchak's Tfila, because he was a Tzadik Ben Tzadik, as opposed to Rivka, who was a Tzadik Ben Rasha. Here's the opposite. Hashem listens to her, Rachel. So a person's tefillahs, when they're very powerful, can have their own effect and be more powerful. Not the Rabban doesn't even mention this. It's just, he quotes that pasuk, and that's just what comes out. The Rabban just also points out that it's also possible when he was responding that, you didn't have kids, not me. And what he meant to say was, Yitzchak was promised he would have Klai Yisrael from him, so his tefillah, you know, I was also promised Klai Yisrael should come from me, but I had kids. So I can't guarantee, like my father could have guaranteed. Okay, then we have the story with the Dudoyim, which the Ramban explains were something that the leaves smell nice, and the roots are supposed to be helpful for pregnancy. And the Ramban says he doesn't think it's, Ramban was a doctor, by the way, the Ramban says he doesn't think it was physically, he is not aware of the Dudoyim, which I think are supposed to be mandrakes. Whatever it is, the Dudaim are not supposed to be the root that's supposed to help for pregnancy. It would be Bederach like a Segula type of thing, but not like physically, because he said so he doesn't think physically it would do anything for anybody. But anyway, Rachel wanted it. Rachel had kids because she davened to Hashem, not because of any medicine. So she just wanted the leaves. Leah gets all upset at this request because she says, "Hamat kechteches ishi, you almost took my husband, and now you want my dudayim." What does that mean? So Rabban explains, it means that first you're just acting superior over me. First of all, you take my husband, you make it like you're the main wife, and then you're just like asking me for my stuff, like I'm the maidservant. So that's one pshat. The other pshat is that these dudayim increased a man's taiva for nashim, and that's what she meant. Hamat kachteches ishi, take my husband. Now you want to do this too? Make him come to you instead of, right? Stay with you anyway. So that's his two pshat in there. Okay. Then there's a whole lot of technical rashis, rambans about the deal Yaakov had with Laban about the spotted sheep and this kind of sheep and that kind of sheep and which were Yaakov's, it wasn't all that. A lot of details there. I'll just point out one thing, that remember Yaakov says that your father changed my wages 1,000,000 times. Okay, now we know the pasuk talks about how he had this trick to get, Yaakov had this way of getting the sheep to give birth to certain looking sheep that would be in consistent with what he was supposed to get from Lavan. So he would peel the wood off the sheep, off the stick in a certain way to make it look like a certain, like the kind of sheep that he wanted. And then the sheep would have that kind of offspring. This way he would get it. So the Ramban says, when it says he changed his wages 1,000,000 times, even after the sheep was pregnant, that means he did this trick. Let's say he's supposed to get spotted. So he, carves off on the stick that it should make spotted sheep. And then Lavan would say, okay, when the sheep's already pregnant, you're going to get the only one, whatever, white sheep. Hashem would make an ace and make it to be whatever Yaakov's job was supposed to be. So Yaakov did his ishtadlis, but it wouldn't have been enough. And Hashem made an ace to make it that Yaakov would get, got rich, and all the things that he was supposed to get, he got. And then we have that Rachel stole the truffim. What are the truffims? We always translate it as idols. Rabban says it's not idols. Don't tell me Yaakov had that Yaakov had in his house idols. Can't be. So the truffim were things that people would use to ask the future. So he says they were, what they really were sundials or something, some type of thing that could tell the time. And people, you could somehow ask it. Almost sounds like a magic eight ball. You could ask it for answers, and it would work. And apparently it did work most of the time, he says. Like there was some, this, whatever. Somehow it had this, however it worked, it was magic, I don't know. But it wasn't idols. In other words, he said, I think he was saying that some people did worship it as idols, but most people understood it's not an idol. In other words, you don't offer it. It doesn't have a choice. You're not offering it, a carbon so that it should do something for you. It was just a way of knowing the future, like astrology or whatever. Not that you would offer it anything. It wasn't that kind of a avodah zarah. It was a way of knowing the future. And it wasn't always correct. Like astrology, very similar to astrology. It wasn't always correct. but it was often correct. It was usually correct. So people would ask it. That was his trufim. And we know we had before, Lavan, or so, or whatever. Lavan says, Nichashti, Vayivrachinu Hashem Biglalecha. Lavan was that kind of guy who had these nichushes. He had these tests or tricks to set up what would be in the future. And his city was a bunch, was like that. The Ramban points out, Bilam was also a Kosim Ksamim from the same city. It's interesting he says that, right? Because I think many of us are familiar. There's a Chazal tell us that they had this, it was the same, Bilam was a Gilgal of Lavan. But anyway, this was Nichush type stuff. It wasn't idol worship, it was stuff that people would use for knowing the future. And it was not typically actually worshipped. So, anyway. Okay, then there's a famous, somewhat famous Ramban about Lavan goes, is looking for his idols. He does not find them. And then he sees Rachel sitting on the car, and she says, oh, sorry, Dad, I can't get up, which means she was Anita. So the Ramban says, therefore you can't get up? Like, when I think Anita's walk, what do you mean, therefore you can't get up? Why can't she get up? She was that. You know, sometimes people, women feel weak when they're getting their period. But like that week, she can't get up? Okay, maybe. Maybe she was that weak. But he thinks the right shot is that in the olden days, people treated, and this means people, I mean Goyim, a woman who is menstruating was, Nida means like menuda, like excommunicated, like far away. They were kept far away. They were considered to be like tummy and like in a non-Jewish, like even the non-Jews, like it was like a tumma, like you wouldn't want to breathe her breath. And it was like, you know, the Ramban says in another place that you could see, like if she would look in a mirror, you'd see blood on it or something like that. It was, you wouldn't want to walk in the path she walked. He quotes, the Biochanan who says, don't walk behind Anita and don't step on the places she stepped on. Cause it's tummy kames. Like, you know, there's some like real tumma. So, you didn't want to talk to a, and again, I don't think this means, like I said, halachic nida. Meaning to say, if a woman becomes a nida, she never goes to the mikveh. She stays a nida forever. I don't think that's for this. I think this means when she's actually menstruating. So then there's this tumma that I don't know that still exists. But back then it was considered dangerous. So when she says, derech nashim hili, he doesn't talk to her anymore. Because you don't want to be in the same room with a woman who's menstruating, at least back then. And so that's why he didn't want to, you know, she's not going to get up because he doesn't want to be anywhere near her. So he's just going to leave. Again, he quotes Kadmonim, who say, Hevlan Mazik, that means her breath can cause damage. And it's, if they look at things, it causes a gnai. Anyway, nobody wants to be near them, so that's how it was a good excuse. Okay, then at the end of the parasha, we have that Yaakov meets these malachim, and he says that these are machane, this is a machane elokim, ve'ekra shem ha'makom machanayim. Okay, so Rashi says, who's these malachi elokim that he's meeting? It's malachi Eretz Yisrael that are coming out to greet him. And that the machanayim is the two machanos of Chutz Laaretz, and the Malachim of Eretz Israel. So Ramban just doesn't understand. He was nowhere near Israel. I mean, why would he have this Mara now? When he was, it says he had to be Vayavra Nachal Yabok, which is by Ammon. That means he had to pass Ammon. He still had to pass Moab and Edom. And he was nowhere near Eretz Israel at this point. So why would he get a vision now about Malach Eretz Israel coming to greet him? So the Ramban says that it was just to show him that Hashem is protecting him, and he's about to, you know, he's going about to be near his enemy, Esav, and Hashem is going to protect him. Also, he wrote at the beginning of Vayera that this was to show that Hashem likes Yaakov, you know, like he says, Maisim are Nisratzu to Hashem, and that Hashem is going to protect him, and the Machanayim is that the Elyonim and Tachtonim, that there was Yaakov's camp and the Malachim's camp, and that they were similar. They were both Machane Elokim, they're there for Hashem. The Mivarchim Lo and Modim Bihudov.